I want this evening to look once again at some verses from 1 John chapter 2, this time verses 7 to 11. Now, last Lord's Day evening, we started, and you remember the purpose of John's letter is given in chapter 5 of the letter here, and verse 13. And John tells us in verse 13 of chapter 5 that these things are written that you unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. That's so important as we think about that. You may know. We're not deluding ourselves. We're not just simply thinking this up for ourselves. It's something that we know. John, in order to that this might be clear to us, then John has given to us three tests in this book that we can look at them and judge for ourselves. The first one we considered last Lord's Day evening, and you remember that was obedience. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. The test of obedience. You see it in verse 5 of the letter we read. It tells us, whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Obedience. Someone professes to be a Christian, you expect that person to walk in the way that the Lord Jesus walked. To walk, really, you might say, in his footsteps. The test of obedience. But now we come to the second test this evening, and it's found in verses 7 to 11. And this is the test of love, or the social test. The test of love, verses 7 to 11. And you could put it like this. If we say we live in the light, then this is seen as we walk in love. If we say we live in the light, following Jesus, that is seen as we walk in love. So living means loving. Living means loving. So let's look at these verses this evening. First of all, verses 7 to 8. In verses 7 and 8, we have the law of love really set out for us here. Now, you notice in 7 and 8 that there's no mention of the word love. So here we're going to talk about love, but there's no mention of the word love. In fact, the word love only comes in later on in verse 10. But it's evident, you see, from these verses and for what's mentioned here that is the object of the verses. The new commandment that Jesus speaks about, he tells us in verse 7, beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Well, this commandment, of course, is a commandment about love. And Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 34, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the theme then of these four verses or so that we're going to look at then this evening. So let's think, first of all, he speaks about the old commandment. Is the commandment old or new? That's, when you read this here, you would almost say, it's a bit confusing. In verse 7, we read, I write no new commandment unto you. And then in verse 8, you have, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you. So it's not a new, it's the old commandment, and then it's a new commandment. So how do we understand this? Well, first of all, let's think about the old commandment. The command to love, and this is what it's really about, the command to love was given long, of course, before the Lord Jesus came. Love your neighbor as yourself is found way back in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. That's something that's evident right throughout the scriptures. A person is to love their neighbor as themselves. And it's so important. And whenever the Lord Jesus was speaking about this in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, he said the first, he was asked about the commandments. He said the first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And what is the second? To love your neighbor as yourself. So the Lord Jesus was referring back to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. The importance of loving your neighbor. So from the very beginning, God's people were to love one another. They're to love the people round about them. God loved and his people were to love. He loved with an everlasting love. So love is an old commandment. Now, whenever you think of how the children of Israel would have thought of, this is in the book of Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. They had just been brought out of Egypt. God had brought them out of Egypt. And whenever they were brought out of Egypt, they knew that God hadn't forsaken them. They knew that God loved them. And so God was telling them to do, in a sense, what he had done for them, that they were to love, for he had loved them. He hadn't forsaken them. He loved them. And so the Lord Jesus then in Matthew is speaking then really in this commandment again. But he speaks about this is a new commandment, that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So let's think about then this new commandment. In what ways was the command to love new? Whenever it had been given in Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself, how can we speak of it as new? Well, it's new in that the Lord Jesus invested it with a deeper and a far richer meaning. And there's an entirely new emphasis here placed upon the command to love by the Savior. So think of it in a number of ways. The command to love is new in the importance he gave it, in the importance that he gave it. It wasn't an optional extra. It wasn't an optional extra. This commandment was so central. To many of the scribes and the Pharisees, it would have been an optional extra. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 23 to the scribes and the Pharisees? The scribes and the Pharisees knew the law, and they knew that they had to give a tenth of all that they had to God. And they were meticulous about that. They were absolutely meticulous. And Jesus speaks about them having little seeds like cumin and dill, I think it is. I'm not sure exactly, but they're very small. And you can imagine the Pharisees separating them out, you know, nine here and one for God. Nine, and you know, back, all these tiny little seeds. And Jesus saying to them, look, you're meticulous about counting out these, keeping the law as far as that is concerned, and you neglect the weighty the witty parts of the law, like justice and goodness and truth and love. You think it's just right to give exactly the right. It's like somebody who says, look, I'll give a tenth of all I've got to the church. I'll not give a penny more. I'll not give a penny less. But that's not what it's about, you see. Our hearts should be filled with love. And whenever we're doing something, we're not counting out just exactly nine or ten and saying, that's it and no more, you've got your limit. When you love somebody, you go the extra mile. But the scribes and the Pharisees were so busy being absolutely meticulous that they had forgotten all about love or justice. You see, from the beginning, God's people were to love one another. And God loved and his people were to love. And love then is an old commandment. And Jesus gave it this importance. That's when he spoke about being new, this new importance to it. He changed all those just counting things out. Jesus declared that the whole teaching of the law and the prophets hung upon the law of love. So love is of the first importance. To keep the law and not love was a nonsense. It was new in the importance that he gave it. But it was new also in the quality, the depth that he gave it. There was nothing shallow in the love that the love of the Lord Jesus exemplified. His love was total. He loved even unto death. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Imagine, love one another as I have loved you. But he loved us unto death. That's a sacrificial love. Nothing held back in the love of the Savior. So it was new, you see, in the quality that he gave to it. But it was new also to the extent or the degree, the width that he gave to it. Who should you love, you see? This is the question. Who should you love? This is a question that the Jews could have debated. And said, oh, I wouldn't love him. Who would love a Samaritan, for instance? If you were a Jew, who would love a Samaritan? The Jews had no time for the Samaritans. No time. But Jesus made it clear that the love of a Christian must extend outwards to those who need help and were to make no difference. It was a love that knew no boundaries. It was a love that was so amazing, so amazing. It was an old commandment given from the beginning, but it was also new because the Lord Jesus changed it. The Lord Jesus gave it that depth and he gave it that width. The darkness of the past was passing away, and Jesus, the true light, had come, and there was true light in Jesus. So that is the law of love in verses 7 and 8. But let us turn now to verses 9 to 11, for we have the life of love, the life of love. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Now, this is very blunt, isn't it? Very blunt. The darkness, John has said, is passing away. But in verse 9, we're told it has not completely passed away. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. So let's think of there's three examples given here. Three examples in these verses. You notice, first of all, someone who professes to be in the light tells us in verse 9, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness, is still in darkness. So John makes it clear that there are those who profess one thing and their actions indicate something different. You know, isn't it very sad whenever you have to go to a family? Maybe the minister sometimes is called in. Where two brothers have fallen out big time. Or a brother and sister has fallen out. It's very, very sad. And that happens, sadly it happens, doesn't it? Instead of two people in the same home working together and loving each other, they've fallen out over something, whatever it is. And their actions now speak volumes about their love. Now this is following on from verse 4. For the man who claimed to know God and did not keep his commandments, verse 4. Now you have the man who claims to know God, but at the same time hates his brother. That man is also in darkness. Now, why can it be said that such a one is in darkness? Well, think if you're a Christian tonight, think of your relationship with the Lord Jesus. He is your Savior. He's the one who has redeemed you. He's the one who has set you free. He's the one who's given you the hope of glory in your heart. It's in him we live and move and have our being. Spiritual life is only found in Jesus. He redeems, he saves his people. Now, if the Lord Jesus has redeemed a man or a woman, and we know clearly that that person is loved us by the Savior. The Savior has poured out his love upon that person. Well, if he loves them, how can we do other than love that person? If the Lord Jesus loves that person, how could we turn around and hate that person? How could we turn around and hate that person? Jesus loves his people. He came to seek and to save. He's the good shepherd going out looking for the lost sheep. He loved us enough to die for us. And if he loves men and women like that and other believers, how could one believer hate another believer? But that sometimes is what happens. We might say we love him, but then we hate one whom the Savior loves. And not imagine if I say I love Jesus and you say you love Jesus, but I hate you. How could that be? But sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Sometimes that happens in congregations where two people don't speak to each other, maybe for years. There are those who profess to be Christians and are filled with hatred and or jealousy concerning another believer. A profession without love, a profession without love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That's so emphatic, isn't it? "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You know what that great writer of the last century, Francis Schaeffer, he was speaking about love and he put it like this. He said, "Only by this mark may the world know that Christians are Christians and that Jesus was sent by the Father." If Christians love one another, if they love one another. So how deep is our love for fellow believers? Is there not something seriously wrong if there's no love? Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 13, "Love is patient and kind and keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth." If somebody says that they're a Christian and is full of hatred, can you believe his profession? Can you believe her profession? Is he a true believer? The second mark that he tells us here is in verse 10. And we notice this, that love indicates that a man walks in the light. You notice verse 10. "Whoever loves his brother abides in the light and in him, and there is no cause for stumbling." That's the exact opposite, you see, of what has gone before in verse 9. He's approaching this now in a positive way. Now we're told if a man loves his brother, he abides in the light. Again, why should a Christian love another Christian? Because together we love the Lord Jesus. It's so wonderful to know that because you love the Lord Jesus, I love the Lord Jesus, we're together in the same family. And there should be no backbiting or no hatred. The light of Christ in one person is attracted by the light of Christ in another. You take all these lights, for instance. If you were to get up and put a shade round each one of them, the light would soon disappear, wouldn't it? But the fact that they're all open and they all combine together to light the whole building. And spiritually, you see, that is not, is this not also the case? When we turn ourselves, when we turn ourselves inward, the light is diminished. But whenever we love one another, the light expands. Whenever we care for others, whenever we love the work of the gospel, then not only does our soul prosper, but the work of the gospel prospers. It's very sad whenever someone becomes inward looking. You shouldn't be inward looking if you're a Christian. You shouldn't be. Whenever you become inward looking, of course, you don't bring help to any that person that we meet. But if we abide in the light, if our love for the Lord Jesus increases, then our love, as our love for him increases, then our love for each other increases. So that the light we have is shared, and there is fellowship in the things of God. Every congregation should desire to be like this. Every congregation. One of the saddest things that a presbytery has to do is to come and visit a congregation whenever there's a dispute. And I have been on committees like that, and it's, you know, it'd break your heart. Whenever you think that people who profess to love the Lord Jesus, and then some of the things that are said, and so hard to try and sort it out. And yet it all comes about because people take their eyes off Jesus. And they start thinking about themselves and their problems and their difficulties. And I have been overlooked for this, and the session haven't appreciated me. And oh dear. It's very, very, it's hard, so it is. But you see, it tells us here, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. No cause for stumbling. But then the last example here is in verse 11, and this again is a negative example. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, sometimes it maybe keeps some young people going about love is blind. And sometimes it is maybe a bit blind. They can't see maybe anything wrong with the person that they've... And it's good indeed that they are so attached to that person. But isn't it right to speak about a blind hatred? A blind hatred. A hate that has so filled a man that he cannot see where he's going. He has no goal except himself, except his own ambition, except his own agenda. He walks on blinded. He's consumed with it. And the sad thing about this man is his lack of understanding. His eyes are so darkened that the very gospel, the true light, is darkness to him. How dark is such a person? There's no joy, there's no peace, no love in his life. He's walking in darkness. And there are those like that today, aren't there? Men and women who profess to be Christians, but they're just antagonistic to others. There's maybe even hatred of others. They can't have somebody else, another believer. There are some who can only speak ill of their neighbors or their other believers. And you have to say, when Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, whenever you became a Christian, was the love of God not shed abroad in your heart? Was the love of God not shed abroad in your heart whenever you became a Christian? Whenever you came to know Jesus, was his love not poured out into your heart and life? Surely that was the case, wasn't it? And that should be the case with everyone. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And if that love, you see, is truly written, how can we hate? How can we hold something against someone else? Surely if we are Christ's, this cannot be. And if there is hatred, then we must question our basic relationship. Do I really belong to Jesus? Do I really belong to Jesus? Do I really love the Lord Jesus? How can I think like this? How can I be filled with hatred and love the Lord Jesus? We know that we are His. We said last Sunday evening, if we keep His commandments. But also we know this test here, this test of love. We know we are His if we love one another. If we love one another. Now, love is very costly, isn't it? It's very costly. It costs God His only Son. Cost God His only Son. He came from heaven to die. He loved us so much. And He came to, because He loved those who even hated Him. Who hated Him. But because we are loved, we must love also. If you're a Christian tonight because you're loved in Him, then the love of the Lord Jesus must be seen. The people round about will see the beauty of Jesus. The beauty of Jesus. This Jesus said, then shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? If you love one another. If you love one another. Brethren, love one another. For love is of God. So in these verses, you have just really two points really set out. You have the law of love, love one another. You have the life of love, walk in love. And this is the test. Last week it was obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. This week it's love. If you love me, walk in my way. Next Lord's Day evening, God willing, we'll think about doctrine, the truth, as the final test. But let me ask you tonight, are you walking the life of love? Are you walking the life of love? Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank you for our great salvation. We thank you for all the Lord Jesus did. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. And yet the Lord Jesus laid down his life for those who hated him. Help us to love, Lord. Help us to show love wherever we go, that the beauty of Jesus would be seen everywhere in his people. In his name we ask it. Amen.